You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Thanks so much for being with us. Boy, what a weekend we had for All-Star Weekend in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Cleveland after that. They got a lot to do to try to catch up to what happened in the Shy. Scoop Jackson from ESPN was there, so was I, and we are glad that you're with us on ESPN 1000. Scoop, as always, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime, man. And Indiana won't match this. Cleveland won't match this. It's going to take a long time. You know, my sons and my nephew, we Chicago does things at a whole nother level, so we call them the Shy level.
Yes.
there's regular levels, and then there's Chicago level, and we show, you know, everybody what the Shy level was like.
It's so special, and just the pomp and circumstance of all of it. What resonated with you the most about the weekend?
Man, there was so much stuff going on during the weekend. To be honest with you, because I was doing stuff with Nike, the whole Boys and Girls Club thing on the West Side, the Martin Luther King Boys and Girls Club that Virgil did. That was, you know, being in that experience for like 3 days was really, really special. And, to really give you inside information, once Kobe passed away, Nike released all the athletes from any, you know, type of agreements they had with them to do during the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Like, Nike flipped everything for all their athletes. Like, look, you don't have to do anything. Take the time off. Do what you got to do. You know, all the stuff that Nike had signed up for all the athletes to do during the All-Star break, they shut it down. Like, you all do, if y'all want to do something, it's fine. If not, we're not going to make you do anything. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis on Saturday were like, we want to go to the Boys and Girls Club. Like, no media, no, we just want to hang out with some kids. That's all they wanted to do. Like, this is on them. Like, this isn't anything that nobody puts. We want to hang out with some kids. We go and hang out with the Boys and Girls Club for about an hour or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
One hood, they got there 20 minutes earlier than they told everybody they were going to get there. You know, so like, we'll be there at 1. They got there like at 12:30. They got there early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Said they're going to spend an hour. They wound up spending 3 hours.
Wow.
Like, just on them. And here's the thing. Like, just chopping it up with kids. Then Virgil showed up, because Virgil, like, kind of designed and curated the whole space. So he showed up. So the kids had LeBron, AD, and Virgil all there. And they, like, impromptu had the kids do a dunk contest where they were judges.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy, man. Just out of the blue, like, hey, you know what? We just want to, I know we don't have anything to do, but we want to hang with some kids. So they just hung out with 700 kids. Amazing.
That is so great, because you think about this, right? Like, and when we were growing up, you just don't have superstars just rolling in, just to roll in, just to hang with you. Like, that just wasn't going to happen. And that's why that makes that so special, that stars are willing to spend that kind of time, their own personal time.
Once again, no cameras, no nothing. You know, it wasn't even about that. Just like, you know, you could choose to do anything you want to do. Like, you could rest, you could hang out, you could do, man, they're like, we want to kick it with some kids. That's just special. So to me, Hood, that and what Common did. Common's introduction to the All-Star game was legendary.
Yeah, I think that was. It was tremendous, and it brought Dwayne Wade to tears.
It should have. I mean, not only to mention his name, man, but he mentioned Vonnie Fields. He mentioned Trash and Billy Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned Ben Wilson. You know what I'm saying? He dropped, like, some real Shy. And, look, man, I was with that dude on Friday. I don't know how the hell we were looking for teleprompters. We're like, dude, you could not have memorized this whole thing.
And he did.
Yeah, he did, man. He's amazing. Everything. I mean, yeah. Once again, Shy level, baby. Some people do it at regular level. Then there's that Shy level. We proved that this weekend.
Scoop Jackson from ESPN with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. I did this topic last week, and I want to get your thoughts on it about, you know, it's one thing to look at Michael Jordan, look at Scottie Pippen, the 6 championships in 8 years. But I was trying to figure out, away from the championships, what embodies Chicago basketball. Because I know the conversations I had at bars or just with people around the United Center, the conversation, Scoop, was not about the current Bulls. What are you going to say about them? I mean, it's a team that's not going in the right direction. The organization's not right. The coach is not right. I mean, there's a lot of love for Zach LaVine, and rightfully so. But there's no conversation. So in 2020, what embodies Chicago basketball to you? Because it was all out there for everyone to see what Chicago basketball and the rich tradition of it is. But what is it in 2020?
Chicago Public League.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, no. And it always kind of has been under the underbelly, man. You know, we always talk, we could go like when the Bulls were hot, or we can go back when DePaul was making a, you know, national statement, or we can go, you know, when the U of I was doing anything. Hell, we can go a couple of years with Loyola, you know, was the focus of, you know, Chicago basketball. But to me, the one thing's been consistent and still consistent now is Public League, man. You know, the Chi Public League still represents, to me, everything Chicago's about. Once again, my sons and my nephew and I were talking yesterday. We're like, Patrick Beverly is the embodiment of what a Chicago basketball player is. Mm-hmm. You know, that get under your skin. I still play defense, you know, baseline to baseline. Still get this in. And people forget Patrick Beverly averaged 37 a game in high school, his senior year. Like, you don't even think about Patrick Beverly putting up buckets like that. But he can. But that's a Chicago ball player. You know, so to me, you know, Curry, you know, Morgan Park, Simeon, you know, man, that's still shot basketball, man.
Yeah, I would agree with you, because there would be some executives or people that came into our city and they were just like, yeah, you know, hey, it's the home of the Bulls, but kind of not. No. They're kind of not. And to me, the Bulls was not even a conversation, and that just shows you the mark of the organization where it is right now.
Yeah. You know, and they need to take heed of that. You know, I've always said that the one thing that could change a franchise around, that could change an organization around, is when they become irrelevant. And I've always felt in sports, fans have the power to make franchises and organizations become irrelevant. You know, and I think over the next couple of years, if there's no major change with the Chicago Bulls, they'll find themselves to really, really be irrelevant in this city. And once they do that, then Ryan's also going to really have to make a choice. Like, if I really love the city, is it going to be in my best interest to move this in another direction and move out the way? You know, and you look at what happened with the Blackhawks when they got sold. They started winning championships. Look at what happened with the Cubs when they got sold. You know, they won a World Series. You know, and I'm throwing what you call this in there too, with the Bears, in it with the Bulls. At some point, it's on us as fans to, once we're fed up, to have them, you know, understand that we can move on without you, because we do in Chicago have options. There's a lot of places, Hood, that don't have options. You know, you've been around this country. You know, there are some teams that's the only thing that city has.
Right.
Is that team. And they have to rally. We have options in Chicago, so we don't have to stick with the BS you're giving us. So we can make you irrelevant. And once you become irrelevant from a business standpoint, from a franchise standpoint, and from an organizational standpoint, you have to make a change if you're trying to stay here. So let's see what happens. And I think the Bulls are on their way. It seems like it on paper, but it's on us to make it happen if we really, really get fed up with this.
Scoop, I said this leading into the All-Star break. I've said this several times, and maybe it hit home for Michael Reinsdorf, but I said, man, look, with the whole basketball community, the whole, like, family reunion, the whole barbecue, everybody coming to our city, right?
Yeah.
If I'm Michael Reinsdorf, you know that other owners or other executives or, you know, those that own Nike and other places, I would be embarrassed to be in that room, because even though they're smiling on your face and they're giving you a handshake, they know, they're like, man, this is not good. I mean, yeah, we're glad we're here, but your organization is crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I personally would be embarrassed as an owner to see what's been going on with the city, especially when you're in a spot where it's All-Star break, you think you can lure in free agents, and you know you just can't because you're not a destination anymore like you are in Los Angeles, Miami, in Dallas, and other places. So I would be embarrassed. And so then we see over the weekend the story from Joe Cowley saying that there might be a changing of the guard in the front office. And I said earlier, look, I'll believe it when I see it, but it seems like maybe Michael Reinsdorf does feel some embarrassment that his organization is stagnant and losing and embarrassing.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. But what are they going to do with that embarrassment? It hasn't hit them in the pocket yet, Hood. That's the thing. You know, they can feel embarrassed by the product they put out there, but they're still haven't hit rock bottom. And I think at some point, feeling embarrassed is one thing, but you have to hit rock bottom in order to change. Mm-hmm. And they haven't hit rock bottom yet. But, you know, we have the power to help them. And, well, you don't ever want to do that. But if it's for the betterment of this city and what you're supposed to represent as a team that reps this city, and if you have to hit rock bottom for you to get back to that shot level, then we have to help you hit rock bottom. Then it's necessary. I hate to use this analogy, but if you've known anybody that's had a drug problem,
right,
a serious drug problem, what's the old saying? We can't help you unless you're ready to help yourself. Right. Right? Okay. A lot of times, if you ever dealt with that in your family, with friends, whatever, somebody has a drug problem, they have to hit rock bottom. You have to allow them to hit rock bottom for them to say, okay, I need help. All that talking you do, because once again, you said they're embarrassed. Most people that have drug problems, or alcohol problems, whatever their problem is, they're embarrassed. That's because they hide a lot of stuff. They don't do stuff in front of you. They do stuff in the shadows because they're embarrassed. Like you said, Michael Ronson, he's embarrassed. But in order for that change to happen, they have to hit rock bottom. You got to remove the pillow from the floor and let them hit that concrete. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way they change. And that's kind of the same. I use that as an analogy of what has to happen in this situation. Unfortunately, I think they may be embarrassed, but Hood, they may have to hit rock bottom to really, like, wake up and, like, okay, what do we really have to do? I don't know what that is, and it's hard to say because not too many owners give up ownership. But if they are really, really, really about what this city stands for and not what their ownership to this organization is about, then they find a way to get out the way and do what's for the best interest of the city and just really do what's in the best interest for the city.
Just the way it's run, Scoop, is just a missed opportunity because with everybody coming here, and if you're a player and you're thinking about free agency, the love that you're getting just because you play in the NBA, all the restaurants, all the activities that you had, I mean, it's there for you to be able to entertain certain new players for your Bulls team. But then after they get on the plane, they're like, nah, I just can't. And it's not even a weather thing as much as it is just an organizational structure thing because Milwaukee's doing just fine for right now. So it's not the Midwest as much as it is. What's this organization's about? Oh, is that what it's about? No, I can't play here.
No, but you're looking at something deeper than that. You're looking at player development. You know, we can't say the Bulls have done a fantastic job, you know, during the drafts over the last like 5 years. But they have had a decent amount of players that haven't developed into anything more than when they came here. You know, you really just mentioned Milwaukee, which is one thing. But let's go down to Miami. If there's any team that should be in the cellar, is Miami. Mm-hmm. You lose Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, you know, and Chris Bosh. You lose them, and guess what? Look at where they're at in like 3 years or 4 years from there, and look at where the Bulls are. The fact that Pat Riley has been able to turn that around and develop players and draft players and get the best out of players, that's just business, man. So you're looking at, you know, we're not saying Pat Riley's a genius, but you're looking at what can be done with the right people doing it. You know, Pat Riley didn't have any, like, it wasn't about, like, him getting the first pick in the draft or this, that, and the other. He built that. He knows what he's doing. He got the right coaching staff. He has the right scouts. Yeah, everything's working because, you know, he's like, look, man, I'm good. I'm sure you how to do this. And we don't have that. So it's a whole – we need to look at it totally different. It's not just the players. It's who's running the players. It's the organization. Because, like you said, Milwaukee's doing one thing, and that's fine. And you see what they dealt off of one play. Hell, they lost Jabari Parker,
right,
who was supposed to be the one to turn the franchise around, but they got Giannis and built it around. That's just smart business. But if you take Milwaukee and Miami and look at what they've done – over the last 7 years and look what the Bulls have done, you'll see what the ineptness is about. And you'll see the ineptness is not about the players. It's organizational, man.
There's no question about it. We talked to Scoop Jackson from ESPN.com with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood right here on ESPN 1000. I have a new book in my hand. It's the Game is Not a Game, the Power of Protest and Politics of American Sports by Scoop Jackson. Guess who got an advanced copy of this book? It's me. I'm happy about this. tell us about this, man. The Game is Not a Game.
It's a book I took like 2 years to write. And, you know, I was senior writer for ESPN.com for 12 years. And when I switched over to senior writer for SportsCenter, it kind of freed me up to write a long form, you know, long form stories like I used to do with columns. And basically what I did, I looked at topical issues that we talk about in sports and found a way to flush them out from columns to chapters. So, you know, there's chapters on the NFL, chapters about Colin Kaepernick, chapters about the NCAA, chapters about analytics, you know, I just wrote a bunch of chapters that I thought were, you know, topical conversations that we have in sports. And, you know, thought about, we still have those conversations for years from now as we're having them right now. And did a bunch of research to try to flush them out into chapters and, like, presented them into one thing. My whole concept, Hood, was to, I wanted to do a sport book that was equal to, like, Nas's Illmatic.
Ah.
That's all I thought. Oh. But it wound up being, like, 13 chapters instead of 8, you know, or 9. But I wanted to do, like, Nas's Illmatic. It's, like, 9 songs deep, and every song has its own life. You know, you can listen to it individually, or you can look at it as a whole, listen to it as a whole package. I wanted to do that. And that was the model which I built the book off of. And even though it's a little longer than Illmatic, that's kind of what I tried to present, you know.
Well, so, and for those that don't know, that is a press play album. You don't, there's no skips on that.
No, never. And that's what I tried to do. Every chapter is different. It's not a singular read. You know, it's not one of those things I think you, like, sit down and you can read it in one moment. But, you know, I think hopefully you enjoy it that way. But every chapter is so different. They don't connect. You know, everything, like you said, is press play. They all have their own identity. So, you know, we'll see.
The game is not a game. The power, protests, and politics of American sports. When does it officially come out?
Official drop date is March 3rd, but it'll probably hit everywhere around the middle of March. We're going to have a launch party here in Chicago, so hopefully you'll be there.
Oh, launch party. Yes, well,
yes. Drinks on me.
Well, that's always.
that's
always. Listen, I'm just barely making it here on 1000. So hey, man, I need your help every now and then. You know, as I look at my credit card, I'm surprised it didn't bounce in some of the places I went to this weekend.
Dude, look, Reach is all standing in that Stephen A. line. Stephen A., can you loan us something, baby?
Let me hold some, please. Let me hold some, Stephen A. All right, well, I'm glad that you stopped in, man. I want to get your thoughts about this weekend because there's just a lot of city pride in me right now. I always had it, but just when you have an event like this, everything goes smoothly. Everywhere you go, there's a love for the city. And on top of that, again, we got to talk about Chicago area kids coming back that play in the NBA, like a Kendrick Nunn who plays Simeon. And he talks, he swells up in pride just talking about Jabari Parker and Derrick Rose and some of the others who play at Simeon. So that pride is still dwelling even on a Monday.
It's one of those funny things, man, is that, you know, you're from here. We knew the All-Star game was coming. We've been talking about it for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew this was going to happen, but for it to happen is still come off the way it did is still, you know, surprising to us. But we expect this of ourselves. We know real folks from Chicago know what the city's all about. You know, and what happened this weekend is indicative of how we roll every day. You know, the world may see it differently, but we here know what we're about and know what we have the possibility of doing and how we roll and how we function. But even to live in that and see it come off the way it did is still, it's a really humbling, blissful feeling, man.
What about Indy?
Good luck. That's all I got. Good luck.
It's not the same.
You know, we haven't had an All-Star game here in 32 years, and we might not have enough for 30 years, but it's going to be hard for anyone to top this because we're going to be talking about this one for 30 years.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will, because it was just so great. I'm glad you spent time, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime, family. Appreciate you having me on, my man.
The author of the new book, The Game Is Not a Game, in bookstores very soon in the month of March. Look for it. The Power, Protests, and Politics of American Sports. It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.